Let's talk insurance. On today's show, we welcome Blake Chapman from State Insurance USA onto the podcast to talk about what realtors, home buyers, and homeowners need to know to minimize financial losses when something goes wrong. As a lifelong resident of Southwest Florida, Blake has seen hurricanes, storm-battered boats, and leaky roofs, and knows the ins and outs of insurance policies to cover them all. We learned a lot from Blake and think that you will too, beginning right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville, coming to you, as usual, from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. Sitting next to me, as usual, is Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. It is me. It is sunny and bright, as usual.
Isn't this beautiful weather?
It is beautiful.
Bit of a cold snap recently, but...
Starting to warm up.
Yeah,
maybe
we're
another
tough.
One on the way. Yeah.
We toughed it out through those 40-degree days.
We sure did. Oh, yeah. That was so...
Boy.
For Florida, that is deep, deep cold.
Turns out my car has heated seats, which worked out very well.
Oh, fancy there. You.
Very well, yeah. Hey, this is the show, if you haven't heard us before, where we talk about real estate. We talk about every single aspect of it from mainly the perspective of the realtor. But if you are a home buyer, home seller, or home dweller, you will definitely get something out of the show that will make you a more savvy consumer. So we thank you for finding us on your podcast machine. And we're going to get right into it with our guest today. We're very excited to have him because this is a man who stays busy in the real estate business and other businesses through his business, which is insurance. His name is Blake Chapman. Welcome, Blake.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Happy to be here for sure and enjoying the weather as well. This Southwest Florida weather has been fantastic, hasn't it?
Yeah. Are you a boater, golfer? You get out and enjoy it?
Hey, all the above for sure. I stay pretty active. Absolutely. Got a large family, got 5 young kids, so we're out doing all sorts of stuff, like going to the islands and the beach, and not this time of year so much, but absolutely. Just love getting out in the cool weather.
Very cool, so to speak. You are with, it's your company, I believe, State Insurance USA, correct?
You got it, yeah. State Insurance USA, it's been about 8 years, and independent insurance agency in Southwest Florida.
Okay, and you're also active in our association. I think you're an affiliate member.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely,
and
for sure.
I've seen you at classes doing webinars and that sort of thing here at our Realtor Association of Fort Myers. If you're listening, you can find Blake's recent webinar, the Broker something or other.
Roundtable?
Broker Roundtable, that's what it was. Thanks, Jerry. Yeah. You can find that
on Jim.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. And there's actual video on that, so you can actually see what Blake looks like. We'll ask him later what celebrity he thinks he most resembles, but
sure.
We'll leave it a mystery for now. Blake, tell me a little... at the outset, I want to make sure that we're clear here. There's another Chapman in Fort Myers in the insurance business, right?
Yeah, there's actually a couple. So there's some brothers, and there's a father that's an insurance agent as well. So
would that be your brother or your father?
Yeah, so it's both of them. One's actually a State Farm agent, and one's an independent insurance agent as well. So.
Okay.
A long time in the insurance business. The Chapmans have been around in Southwest Florida, and absolutely. So, yep.
Yeah, I used to deal with a Chapman insurance company in my home state, but that's, I don't think, related.
Yeah, we're just down here in Southwest Florida or whatnot, and been down here for quite some time. Early 80s is really when things kind of got rolling in the insurance business for us, for sure.
You guys have seen it all then, huh?
Yes,
absolutely. Big time growth.
Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Charlie.
Ooh.
Yeah, those seen the good sides and seen the bad sides of Southwest Florida, I guess you'd say, for sure.
Exactly. Hey, tell me a little bit about your background. Where'd you go to school? You're from Fort Myers specifically? Or?
Yeah, so I'm a local guy. I was born and raised right here in Lee County or whatnot, and so I went to a couple different schools, and high school at Evangelical Christian School is where I actually graduated from, and then went to Southwest Florida for a little while as well, and then graduated from FGCU, alumni there in their business school, and so love my time there. It's great to see all the growth with the school there, and kind of dove in. You know, I had two young kids right out of college, and basically was like, hey, I need to get to work. So I started in a construction, a crew or whatnot, and kind of worked my way up from there and was in the construction business starting in 2007. And we all know what kind of happened in the 2000 to 2010 era or whatnot in Southwest Florida when things started to just kind of tail off in the construction business and whatnot. And so that's really what led me into the insurance business back in 2010.
Gotcha. Because there's always a market for insurance, even if people aren't building houses, right?
You got it. Yeah. Absolutely, for sure.
And again, I want to stress, you're not just doing homeowners insurance policies, but you're doing business insurance and all the whole line of personal insurance, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our office actually services personal and commercial insurance needs. So homeowners insurance is definitely, we really feel like we're a specialist in that area as well, and flood insurance and anything dealing with your property. Your auto insurance as well. And then that we also have a full commercial team that handles associations, businesses. And so, yeah, if we got a full team, our team's about 25. We're loving it. And we really believe that our culture is what sets us apart. We really make it about the people. And we really feel like, we have a culture of loving people. That's what I call our core value number one, is how we love and we care for people is really what we feel like is what leads us into a trusted relationship. And we feel like if we do that well, they're going to trust us, that what we're giving them, the advice we're giving them. And then we feel like if we do the love and trust piece as well, that will be an excellent experience as well, what we're shooting for. And those are really what we modeled the company on, and we said, hey, let's put the customer first. Let's make it about people. Let's make it about our team. And, let's make it about our community as well. So that's kind of us in a nutshell. But, yeah, we do have a full lines insurance agency for sure.
Gotcha. You know, I think if we had this conversation a year ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, we could probably say fairly that, boy, this is an interesting time for the insurance business, isn't it? But now it really, really is, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I would say that kind of was a rocket ship that started, or a domino effect that started a lot back, I would say, in the Hurricane Matthew of 2016, then rolling into Hurricane Irma. And then from there on, you got Hurricane Michael and things of that nature. So, yeah, that really did escalate things for sure, definitely.
What are the hot topics in your business right now? I know there were some major changes in Florida insurance 6 or 8 months ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the hot topics are, hey, why are my homeowner insurance rates increasing? That's probably a big one there. And the other thing is, what's happening with the National Flood Insurance Program? Major overhaul that they've been working on for about 5 or 6 years or maybe longer. And so that was a major overhaul to the flood insurance program on October 1st. So those are probably, and I think down here in Southwest Florida, we know we see the growth, and even from an auto insurance perspective, there's a lot more cars on the road and things of that nature. So we're kind of seeing that as well. More accidents, more things of that nature, which is kind of driving rates in a direction too of increase as well. So
yeah, I would guess that as the roads get more congested with all the folks moving here every day, that they're going to bump into each other more often. Right,
it's happening for sure, and that's what we're seeing. And then just the other thing is too, is you got with the rolling out from a lot of the pandemic stuff, the supply chain issues and stuff. So you've got used cars, or your car is worth more, so to replace your car is even harder to do as well today. Mm-hmm. So the actual losses that the insurance companies are having at the time of an accident or at the time of a claim is also increasing those things. So, yeah, we're definitely seeing it in those three areas for sure, on the home, the flood insurance, and the auto as well, I would say.
All this stuff with flooding and algae and cars bumping into each other, that's going to drive the rates up, right?
Absolutely. That's what we've seen across the board. And, what are some things that, we try to give some proactive tips on what are some things to our customers on, hey, how can I keep my rate from substantially increasing, or is there anything I can do? So we're in the independent insurance agency, and so we look to find the best options with an A-rated company that the customer can move to or whatnot. But you know, that you can't just necessarily move these days and find something comparable to what you were paying cost-wise. So there is that natural increase that has happened due to claims just being a lot higher and the payouts for those claims being a lot higher as well.
Let's talk a little bit more about flood insurance. I know those rates have gone way up. What exactly were the changes that took effect last October?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, basically everything was under an old version of the National Flood Insurance Program, which they called 1.0, or their legacy version, basically. And so it was really a simpler way of basically pricing flood insurance. So you basically had a flood zone, and you had what's the height of the home in relation to the base flood. And so it was a little bit simpler from that effect. Basically, you could use the elevation and the zone there, and you could tell what the flood insurance rate would be. And then there was also there was a subsidized rate for properties that might be, you know, 6 feet below the base flood elevation, so that were built older and things of that nature. So they had that subsidized rate in there, built in there. So 2.0 really changed a lot of that, and so it did away with. It's going to be a slow, basically process as they increase the rates over time on some of these properties, but to get them to actual, what's the actual rate for the actual probability that that property could flood. And so they're calling that 2.0, and there's actually like 8 different factors now. So location to the coast matters. The replacement cost on the home matters. And then they're using other geographical data that they will have. Hey, has there been any flooding in that region or that area in the past? And so they're using a lot more technology in there as well. The elevation still does matter. You know, and is it a primary or seasonal home? There's still some surcharges for those things. But the big difference is there is that they're actually trying to get an actual rate for what it would be in those areas for flooding. And so that's why it can be, you know, it just can be a lot of changes. So if the prior owner didn't have flood insurance on a property, that's where they can be kind of eye-opening. If they did, they can transfer some of those statutory rates, and they'll still be moving to that higher rate or whatnot. We have seen a benefit in some areas or what have you, but I would say 68% of them are roughly around there. We'll see some sort of an increase for sure, because the pricing was just way under what it actually should be.
Artificially low, huh?
Based on all the data is really what, you know, and that's they were going off all the data, and so they're still using a lot of that. But 2.0 really kind of changed just how they rate flood insurance going forward.
So if you live on a Gulf Access canal in Cape Coral, like me, you can't get away without having flood insurance unless you own the home free and clear, right? The lender is going to require it.
Yeah, typically, I mean, being Florida, really coastal, majority of anything off a canal, especially a coastal canal or whatnot, is in a flood insurance. So, yeah, if you have a mortgage on a property, you're going to be required. FEMA requires that if they have a loan on the property that they have a flood policy in place. And so, yeah, you'll definitely have to have it. For sure. And depending on what type of loan it is, I'm hearing from a lot of our mortgage partners and things of that nature that some of them can't do. There is some competition coming in the marketplace in regards to private flood insurance, but some lenders might not allow the private flood insurance. So it might be a little bit cheaper, but you have to make sure your lender will allow that for sure. But yeah, most of Southwest Florida is in a flood area. You know, you can contact your local independent insurance agent. They can let you know that right away. Sure. If you're in a flood zone, what's the severity of the zone and probability of loss on a 30-year mortgage?
When you look at factors such as what's expected to happen due to climate change, do you foresee a day when houses will be built on stilts in Cape Coral?
You know, I think that's it's some areas, you know, or whatnot, depending on where they are, coastal and things of that nature. You know, I mean, I think some of the building codes have adjusted for that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of fill that they bring in on a lot of those now. I think those are the things that will continue to adjust. So FEMA is still at the forefront of that and still requiring homes to be built to a certain height and all those things. And really, the reality is to save lives. And that's why they do a lot of that. And, you know, or whatnot is mandate you build to certain levels, you know, or what have you. So some areas definitely. I mean, there's definitely some beach erosion in some areas and things of that nature. So that will definitely be a factor in the future.
Yeah. My experience with homeowners insurance is I don't think I ever needed to use it in the two or three homes I've owned. But and I was never in touch with whether the rates in my community were higher than somebody across town. But they do vary considerably, right, from area to area based on the flood zone map and other factors?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there's all those eight different factors, and depending on when it was built, the height of the home, is it a primary or seasonal? So those will vary a little bit, but they are trying to standardize. You know, if you're all in this one area, you know, in the past it could have been, hey, this home's built 2 feet above, you know, and this one's built 1 foot above. Well, why is there a substantial difference in rate when the probability in that area it would flood? So that's really what we're seeing, more of a consistent with some of the new rates. Yeah, they're definitely higher, but it is a little bit more consistent across the board, where that's traditionally how your homeowner's insurance is like, what's the probability that I'm going to have a loss, a hurricane claim, or anything of that nature? And that's kind of where the flood rates are going as well.
One last question before we have to take a quick break here, Blake. But with all the vacation homes in this area, how big an issue is it for insurers such as yourself? I know you're shopping the policies around, but how big an issue is it for the industry where people are gone for 6 months and don't know that damage has occurred in their house that's costing more and more to fix?
Yeah, it's very challenging. I mean, you have to really, you know, dial into the policy and really look at it. So some have, you know, after 30 days, if it's been vacant, you know, they have some limitations on some things and things of that nature. So you really want to watch out for that. Some, you know, with the Airbnbs and the VBROs of the world, and so that's a little bit different type of property management agreement or arrangement than we've seen in the past, where it's like, hey, I have a property manager that does my annual property. So those have added challenges. There's some carriers that do it and do it well and or whatnot. But I would say traditionally, you know, if you've got anywhere from less than a, you know, 3 or 2 night rental, it can be a little bit challenging to find a specific place for you on those.
Is there one carrier who's dominant in this area versus others?
You know, from the seasonal rental side of things, I would say there's a few. You know, Tower Hill Insurance, Frontline Insurance, Centauri Insurance, those are a couple standouts. Yeah. ASI, Progressive Home, will do the seasonal as well. And so it just depends. You know, I'd say the other part of a lot of times is with those where it can be challenging is that they'll put them in like a business name, because it really is a business at the end of the day if you're using it for an investment and a rental. And so, you know, that changes it from a little bit of a personal policy to a business policy. You know, or whatnot. So you have to, we weigh those couple things, and that's where it can get challenging. Some carriers don't like the business side of it, you know, or whatnot. They only like the property side of it, the home, insuring the home piece. So, yeah, absolutely. So that can be challenging, especially in a world where a lot of people are putting investment properties and LLC names and partnerships and things of that nature.
Gotcha. All right, we are at break time here on the Royal Palmcast, so we're going to do that. We're going to take a break and be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Caroline Boland, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Jason Jakis, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Wendy Payton, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Education, you need it, we've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
And we're talking with Blake Chapman from State Insurance USA here in Southwest Florida. Blake, you have offices in just Fort Myers?
Yeah, we've got an office in Fort Myers right off I-75 on Colonial, right over here by the association. And then we have one on Corkscrew in Estero right off of... right in the Corkscrew Executive area, right by Estero Bay Chevrolet. So, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. There's two areas.
Traffic's kind of nasty where your office is, right?
It is. We're in a lot of growth areas there for sure. I would say Colonial has been quite wild, and so has Corkscrew over the years. So, from a growth perspective, it's great. But, yeah, it's challenging the last few years.
Easy to find you. You look for Topgolf, right? It's the 150-foot fences.
I know. I live out in Gateway, and it took me a little while to get used to just driving by. And wow.
It's massive.
That whole Colonial corridor is really cool to see it develop out for sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about insurance here, since that is what you are an expert in. If I am a realtor here in Southwest Florida, what particular issues should I be aware of from an insurance perspective?
Yeah, that's great. I think the one things right now, as a realtor, when I'm showing a property or I'm looking at listing a property, I would look at, the home itself and say, I know they're not going to be an expert in each one of these four points, but it's good to have a good overview and being like, because at the time of the transaction or the time of the contract, what shape is the roof in? Is it within 15 years if it's a shingle roof, or is it within 25 if it's a tile roof? And so kind of knowing those things and would be big on the roof side of things, because eligibility-wise for a home insurance company is they're really tight on those guidelines right now. So that would be number one. I'd look at it and I'd make sure that, hey, what's the age of the roof? Maybe have that discussion. Maybe it's something we ought to get an estimate on right now. And so, or what have you, if it is a little bit older. And so you could have all those things already, or what have you. You might even have a seller that's looking forward to getting that done, in a climate like this. Just let's get it done so that we have our best chances to sell at the highest dollar or whatnot. So the roof is big. So I would say the age of the roof, the condition of the roof would be the first thing I would look at. The second thing I would look at is the air conditioning system, or whatnot. What's the age of the air conditioning system? Is there any mold issues or anything of that nature that a specialist could find out? Was it just recently replaced? Because that's something that, from an eligibility standpoint, that a lot of insurance companies are going to see updated within the last 20 years. So that air conditioning, especially in Southwest Florida, we all know how important it is. Maybe not the last 3 days of winter that we've had, but typically the other 8 months of the year, we're definitely using that. I thought it was kind of funny. Somebody said, hey, I had a jacket on and my heater on in the morning and my air conditioning on in the afternoon. Right. And it was quite wild. But that's it. The air conditioning is a big point there, that they're wanting to see that those have been updated. Believe it or not, that's from a just from a loss perspective, you know, those can backflow in the summer months or the where there's more humidity. They can backflow a lot of water into the home and cause water damage. So that's typically a lot of claims that we'll see on a seasonal home that's not occupied or whatnot. So that air conditioning is big. You know, moving into the other thing would be the electrical panel. And the electrical system in itself, you know, a lot of times the electrical panel and the electrical system does have a pretty long life. And I would say typically probably 30 to 50 years, depending on what it is. But there is some industry-wide problematic electrical concerns, like problematic panels that have seen to not, you know, short at the right time or anything of that nature and cause fires. Aluminum wiring is another thing, you know, sir, or whatnot, if you're looking at an older home. But, you know, I would say what's a general rule of thumb? If the home is over 30 years old, or 20 is probably even better, then that's when I would start to look into what type of electrical panel box does it have, because some carriers might not accept that, you know, or what have you. So those simple things on the electrical. And then the last one's the plumbing system. You know, a lot of carriers do their own inspections these days. So even if it's a newer home or anything of that nature, I know they're going to do a, you know, a home inspection and the buyer will and all those things. But the age of the water heater could be a big thing that eligibility-wise, a lot of carriers like to see those when they're with inside the home. That they're within the last 15 years have been updated. If they're out in the garage, some will do to 20 years old. So, you know, that's just something to ask. You know, I would say, hey, when was your water heater last updated? Oh, it was updated in 2016. Well, you know, there won't be a problem there or anything of that nature on a slightly newer home. If it's an older home, some carriers like to see the plumbing system completely updated. So, you know, I know that's a lot there, but I would just kind of ask them, what are those updates years? And if you know some things have been updated, man, that will put you in a lot better position when it comes to getting insurance, and the you know, the transaction will go really, really smooth.
When you look at things like electricity, it's not just the panel, though, right? And you mentioned aluminum wire, but if you have standard copper wiring throughout your house, and is there an age limit on that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not on the copper wiring, there's not an age limit on that. And that's what I've said. A lot of the panels, you can have an old Square D panel that's functioning properly, that's 50 years old. That's not a problem at all. It's just some of the problematic, like I would say Federal Pacific is a big name. A lot of the companies that are not in business anymore because of various reasons, right? Zensco is in Sylvania is another one, you know, or whatnot. So kind of just, you know, those are some things that you can almost see the sticker or the labeling on them. They might know. I mean, a lot of consumers might even know that, or sellers might even know, hey, do you have any of these couple things? So, you know, we've got a quick little checklist that we could even share with, you know, realtors if they want to reach out to us. And, hey, here's something that in those 4 points that could really help you. Just make that part smoother. There's so much else going on in those transactions. I can't even imagine. You know, we just don't want to be a bump in the road on the insurance. And so any way that we can help, we try to.
Mm. I lived in a home once where there was knob and tube wiring.
Oh, man.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of rare down here in Florida because we just don't have that many of that old of homes. But, yeah, absolutely.
It's a little scary, but... any event. So one other thing that's huge, many things, but watercraft, boats. Everyone loves boating here. This is like the boating capital of the U.S., right? Cape Coral, Fort Myers.
Absolutely.
What advice do you have for boat owners in terms of insurance?
You know, absolutely. I mean, the cost of boats and, you know, I would say what's big is the theft on boats is actually, you know, it seems like I see on Facebook a lot of times, you know, hey, such and such was stolen right out of their driveway. So it's just really important to protect that asset. They're very costly to replace. Even the motors these days, the outboards that are on them are very costly to replace. And so just, yeah, absolutely. Liability wise too, you know, we're in a really litigious society as well. And so, you never know. There might be a lot of boats on the water these days, and so there could be an accident or things of that nature. So you want to protect yourself as far as liability protection, which on a watercraft, it's really fairly inexpensive, you know, because again, it doesn't happen a lot where you run into another boat or anything of that nature. But you know, you never know. Even if your boat were to become loose off your dock, you could still be potentially liable for the damage that it would cause, you know, and mm-hmm. so, you know, or whatnot. So, and then we're in a hurricane state. So anything dealing with wind damage or anything, you know, a lot of times when those are on lifts, it can be easily, you know, thrown around or damaged. And so liability would be the other thing as well that I would say, you know, definitely just because it's inexpensive, I think, on a watercraft, and it would be something that could really protect you as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned theft. So there are boats stolen from driveways on a trailer. Someone just pulls up and drives off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, no, I just saw one that was just, yeah, absolutely. And I think in some other areas of Florida, it's even more prevalent. You know, I've seen some where they're taken right off the dock, you know, as well. And so, you know, just some tips of shutting off your dock power and all those things, you know, I think would be great. You know, just be proactive on those things because they are happening. I'm sure if we even checked in with the local sheriff's department and stuff, they would tell us they are happening more frequently,
yeah.
You know, or whatnot. Absolutely.
Don't leave the keys in it, huh?
No, absolutely. Don't make it too easy.
Yeah. Wow, very interesting. I could go on and on and on with my insurance questions, but I will not ask you to spend the rest of your day here. So, but you have agreed to come back for another show where we're going to have some of your top tips,
yes,
in various categories for insurance. So I would recommend you, absolutely, dear listener, stay tuned for that for a later episode. Watch for Blake Chapman on that. But now we get to come to the fun part of the program, the lightning round. And I know you've listened to us before, so you may be familiar that on show day, Jerry gets up extra early, usually what, 3, 3.30?
It's 3 a.m.
3 in the a.m.
That is early.
Yeah, wow. I was actually up at 3.30 today, but as soon as I woke up, I said, Jerry's been up for a half hour.
I'm already there.
I usually am sleeping in unless my 3-year-old, you know, wakes me up that early, so we'll see.
Yeah. So Jerry, what Jerry does, the reason he gets up early is because he drives to a secret location in North Fort Myers, where in a super box we have the questions for today's lightning round, which we'll get into.
Okay. And I had to trudge through the woods.
Yeah,
you keep moving that thing on me.
In the dark of night. Yeah, well, we have to move the location for insurance purposes.
I think,
you know,
I saw a Sasquatch.
Yeah,
or in this case, a skunk.
Jerry gets the questions anyway, and they're written down on 3x5 official game show host index cards. Mm-hmm. And he is going to open the super box right now. And
here is, so you can visualize.
Give me the question.
Oh, man.
Physically see it.
It's an actual super box. Yeah, Jerry's
these cards out of here.
You need you need the bolt cutters,
there you
Jerry.
Go, Jimmy.
Good. You got it. You remembered how to operate
easy,
it.
But I got it.
All right. That's an app on your phone for that, right?
That's true.
Okay. I've got the lightning round questions here, and we're going to ask them to you, Blake. What we're looking for here, as you probably know, are just soundbite answers. Don't overthink it. Just, you know, spontaneous. You ready to play the lightning round?
Hey, I'm ready.
All right. This is where we get to know about Blake the person, not just Blake the insurer.
Okay.
All right, Blake, where would you live if not in Florida?
Oh, man. If I could live anywhere not in Florida, love Southwest Florida, but I love the mountains. So it would be in the Carolinas or out west somewhere, probably on the Rockies as well. So.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Cats or dogs?
Oh, I'm a dog guy.
Dog guy. You got a dog?
No, we don't. We don't. Maybe soon. I like big dogs too. So.
Oh, do you? All right. What popular local attraction have you never visited?
You know, I have not been to the new Topgolf, so I'm looking forward to going to that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very cool place. Just opened within the last 6 or 8 months or so.
Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure, Blake? Something you typically don't reveal.
You know, I really am interested in the construction industry. So I'm always keeping a post on development, things of that nature.
Residential, commercial, what?
Both, you know, or whatnot. So, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Socks with sandals, yes or no?
No.
Not so much. Okay. What iconic movie or TV show have you never seen?
Man. That one I don't know. I'm not a huge movie buff. So
most of them then.
Yes, absolutely.
For me, it would be Star Wars. How about you, Jerry?
I don't think I've ever watched Singing in the Rain all the way through, but I've just seen clips. Okay. So that's one I think I would like to do. I've been exploring the older movies lately.
Yeah, you should. They're good. They're good. I love the Turner Classic movies. Mm-hmm. All right. Now tell me about some of your favorite things, Blake. Your favorite food.
Oh, favorite food. I'm a meat and potatoes guy, so I'd say a good steak would be a big thing for me. And I like salads, so, you know, any good salad, okay. Which would kind of be interesting, right?
Yeah, you must know all the local. You've been to Burns Steakhouse, of course, in Tampa. And where else do you like to go for steak?
Ruth Chris is pretty good. You know, I like it all the way down to even Outback's got a great little steak for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, keep it simple sometimes.
Exactly. Man of the people. All right, what's your favorite sport as a viewer?
My favorite sport's probably football. You know, I really enjoy football or whatnot.
Gators?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Of course, no Knowles for you.
No.
Super Bowl coming up. It'll probably be all over by the time this airs. But, So, in any event, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
You know, that's a tough one. You know, I think both these teams have a really, really cool story or whatnot. I think it's I like the underdog or the Bengals, you know, or whatnot, coming from such adversity or what have you. And, you know, also even on the Rams side or whatnot, they're seeing the same thing, you know, a new quarterback, things of that nature. So it's cool stuff. It's really cool. I think there's some really cool stories. So I'm going to enjoy the game.
Cool. Yeah. What's your favorite sport to play?
Oh, favorite sport to play would probably be football or baseball. One of those, absolutely.
Right. Fair enough. Well, your dream car, what is that?
Oh, I've always, since day one, probably a Corvette.
Me too.
You know,
me
too. Wow, we're three vet guys.
Oh, yeah.
I've never owned one.
The old Corvette Stingray style from the early 70s.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, just as a kid, that was the one where I was like, hey, that is the automobile, you know, or whatnot.
I came close to owning one as an 18-year-old.
Awesome.
But my parents put the kibosh on it.
I hear you.
Did not happen. Thanks, Dad. All right.
Absolutely.
Hey, what's your favorite restaurant to take out-of-town clients or friends to in a local area here?
You know, local area here, I would say some of the cafes, you know, we love to go to, First Watch would be good, you know, or whatnot. And, you know, I would say depending on the venue or what else you were doing, but, we've got such great places in Southwest Florida, good Italian places, some down in Estero, love Angelina's, that's a great place as well down there. And, I don't shy away from food for sure. I love it. Absolutely.
Okay. Do you do any imitations, Blake?
No.
That's a hard no?
That's a quick hard no.
All right. All right. I hold in my hand the last lightning round question. You ready? You get one bucket list item. What is it?
One bucket list item. You know what? I just spend more time with family and just really appreciate family more than anything. And, and people you come around, you know? I mean, I think that's really where I feel like I'm at in life now, and that, hey, I want to show the love of love to people. So, yeah, nice. That's my bucket list item for sure.
So if you ever do leave your job and we see a memo that says he left to spend more time with his family, it's probably true.
You'd say he got a promotion for
there
sure.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's a way to put it.
Nice. Hey, Blake, how can folks get in touch with you or learn more about your business?
Oh, really, really simply. So you can go to our website, which is www.stateinsuranceusa.com, and you can see our full team there and everything that we can provide. Or you can email me at blake@stateinsuranceusa.com, or give me a call. Number is 239-567-9992, and would love to chat or love to get together. Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Hey, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I've learned a lot, and hopefully our listeners have as well.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I'm happy to do it, and it was a great time. Absolutely.
Very cool. Hey, Jerry, I want to thank you as well, Jerry Johnson.
I always really appreciate when you do that, Jim. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing what you do so well.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm grateful to have you here running the show.
Yes.
Twisting the dials and moving the levers on the board there.
Yep, I'm working it.
He looks like a fighter pilot over there.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you. Hey, and I want to thank the staff here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association for all of their support and help in making us successful here at the Royal Palmcast, and as well as our CEO, Beata Jones. And we'd love to hear from you, listener. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. And we'll be pleased to hear from you. That is just about it here in the Royal Palmcast. So we're going to get out of here and enjoy the rest of this day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for finding us on your podcast machine. We'll look forward to hearing from you and our guests again later.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.